It's Sunday, August 7th, 2016, from Mount Vernon, Virginia. This is Literally This Week. Hello, this is Keith F. Shovlin, publisher and chief creative of AS21 Publishing, here to bring you the literary news of the first full week of August 2016. Leading off, from the bookseller, first day sales of Cursed Child, incredible. Sales of the Harry Potter and the Cursed Child play script have been incredible according to Waterstones, while Foyles deemed it the fastest selling book we've ever sold, after fans flocked to midnight openings around the country. The Harry Potter magic last seen 10 years ago for the release of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows was relived by fans, many of whom queued outside bookshops holding midnight openings on Saturday, July 30th for their copies of the Cursed Child play script by Jack Thorne, with queues forming again early on Sunday morning, July 31st. Waterstones had indicated pre-order sales of the book had reached 100,000, with the title set to be the biggest for sales since the release of the last of the novel series, Deathly Hallows, and Kate Skipper, buying director of the retailer, said overall sales of the book, including the first day, were in line with our pre-order indications. Altogether, 140 of the chain stores held midnight opening events, offering the book for £10 at 50% off. Also in the news on Monday, August 1st, from The Guardian, Yves Bonnefoy obituary, French poet and essayist who believed in the sacredness of the here and now. From The New Yorker, how Rousseau predicted Trump, the Enlightenment philosopher's attack on cosmopolitan elites now seems prophetic. From Melville House Books, editing the genome, so wildly wrong that it defies rational analysis, is what scientist Walter Gilbert had to say about Pulitzer Prize-winning author Siddhartha Mukherjee's recent New Yorker article that was drawn from material in his best-selling book, The Gene. And finally on Monday, from InteristingLiterature.com, happy birthday, 5 fascinating facts about Herman Melville, 5 fun and interesting facts about the author of Moby Dick. Moving on to the news from Tuesday, August 2nd, from Slate. Patton Oswalt will finish his wife Michelle McNamara's book, he reveals in heartbreaking post. Comedian, writer, and actor Patton Oswalt, whose wife, true crime writer Michelle McNamara, died suddenly on April 21st, has posted a heartbreaking essay on his Facebook page about grieving her. One way he's been coping with the loss is by working to finish the book McNamara was writing when she died, an expansion of her wonderful Los Angeles Magazine article In the Footsteps of a Killer. The article was an investigation into an uncaught serial killer she dubbed the Golden State Killer. According to Oswalt, we're just taking what's there and letting it tell us how to shape it. Oswald's thoughts on grief and loss are touching and worth reading in full. His love for his wife and daughter and his gratitude for the people who've helped him come through in ways that aren't well served by block quotes. But the upshot is that he is slightly better than he was and looks forward to eventually returning to telling jokes again. Also in the news on Tuesday from the bookseller, Netflix to produce a film of the Panama Papers. The book, The Panama Papers, The Story of How the Rich and Powerful Hide Their Money, which was published on June 30th, reveals how two investigative journalists, Bastian Obermeier and Frederick Obermeier, from Munich-based newspaper Süddeutsche Zeitung, together with an anonymous source, exposed a complex network of offshore shell companies used by the super-rich to hide their money earlier this year. It has now been optioned into a film. From TheObserver.com, the fascinating, complicated art of designing a book cover. An interview with Paul Buckley, creative director for Penguin Classics. From the New York Times, what do this season's political books tell us about the election? As citizens, not just voters, we demand to know, why is this all happening now? And what does it mean? With books, there is the complication of faulty timing. Election year analyses always seem to arrive too late or too soon. They are useful nonetheless. And finally on Tuesday, from The Atlantic, what we're reading this summer. A collection of books recommended by The Atlantic's editors and writers. In the news for Wednesday, August 3rd, from The New York Times, despite sales, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child isn't magical to some fans. Scholastic had high expectations for Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, which arrived on July 31st with an enormous first printing of 4.5 million copies. The publisher's optimism was well warranted, it seems. The play has become an overnight blockbuster, selling more than 2 million hardcover copies in the first 48 hours. Scholastic said on Wednesday, calling the sales unprecedented for a script book. More than 5,000 bookstores and libraries around the United States celebrated the publication of Cursed Child with release parties over the weekend. The play, which is being billed as the eighth book in the Harry Potter series, is a continuation of a story, but also with a stark departure in style and form. It was written by the playwright Jack Thorne, with input from the creator of the series, J.K. Rowling, and the play's director, John Tiffany. But the book, which arrives nearly a decade after Ms. Rowling officially ended the series, has already caused a minor schism among devoted Potterheads. While many readers were ecstatic about the chance to have more material on Harry and his friends, others have faulted Ms. Rowling for licensing out her story and characters. Some fans have lashed out online, saying they feel they were duped and misled by the prominence of Ms. Rowling's name on the cover. Also in the news on Wednesday from writersright.co.za in South Africa, why you should care about readability statistics. We need to learn how to say difficult things in the simplest language. If we do this, we are able to reach a larger audience. This is true for business writing, blogging, and creative writing. From the bookseller, Academics Unite to Condemn YUPL Redundancies. A letter to the senior management of Yale University Press strongly criticizing the decision of Yale University Press London, YUPL, to make editors redundant has been signed by more than 320 academics from 77 universities and 30 museums and institutions across 9 countries. From InfoDocket, Chicago Public Library hotspot lending is hot. In all, 973 wireless internet hotspots are available at Chicago Library branches. They seem to be popular. Fewer than a dozen are available, and holds have been placed on about 200, according to the library's online reservation system. And finally on Wednesday from Books Live out of South Africa, Facts and Fictions find out about Bridge Books, Joe Berg's newest independent bookstore, and the coming reading revolution. Griffin Shea likes to emphasize that he is no trailblazer when it comes to selling books in downtown Joburg, but his new shop, Bridge Books, certainly makes an impression. In the news for Thursday, August 4th, from the bookseller, The Goat Bursary launches for unpublished writers. Joanna Cannon and the Writers' Workshop are to finance an unpublished author to attend the Festival of Writing 2016, an annual writing conference for unpublished writers. The Goat Bursary will be available to an unpublished author who needs financial support in order to attend the Festival of Writing. The festival is an opportunity for unpublished authors to meet publishers, get advice from professional authors, and pitch their work directly to agents. In September 2014, Cannon attended the Festival of Writing, where she won the Friday Night Live competition and received offers of representation from 7 literary agents within 48 hours of leaving the festival. She went on to sign with Sue Armstrong of Convoy and Walsh. This January, Borough Press published Cannon's debut novel, The Trouble with Goats and Sheep, which has sold 19,565 copies in hardback since it was published on January 28th, according to Nielsen Bookscan. Unpublished authors are invited to submit 500 words of their work in progress, along with a 500-word letter on why they would like to attend the festival. The entry deadline is August 22nd, and the winner will be selected and notified by August 28th. Also in the news on Thursday, from Forbes, the world's highest paid authors 2016. James Patterson, Jeff Kinney, and J.K. Rowling top ranking. Patterson topped the list for the third straight year, earning $95 million pre-tax, while children's author Jeff Kinney placed a distant second, earning $19.5 million American. From LitHub, on the politics of Europe's new literary superstars, Edouard Louis, Yahya Hassan, and Athena Farrokhzad take on class, race, and politics. From The Guardian, no power or running water, but digital books galore. In the town of Rawinkwavu, technology is giving children access to hundreds of books and helping to empower adults. And finally on Thursday, from The Telegraph in the UK, 10 books to get men reading. As a survey declares that 63% of men think they don't read enough, this is our list of recent titles, fiction and nonfiction, that can get men back to books. In the news for Friday, August 5th, from the Moscow Times, Moscow bookstores receive new Harry Potter books after confusion at customs. English-language copies of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child have been delivered to Moscow's Dom Knigi bookstore. Reports in the Russian media claim that copies of the book were being held by customs officials due to an anti-terror probe. Copies of the 8th Harry Potter's book are currently being inspected by customs officers in connection with the country's anti-terrorism program, said PR manager for the Moskva bookstore Natalia Shaprova, as quoted by the Izvestia newspaper. Some problems have emerged there. Moskva's deputy manager, Yekaterina Mosina, later confirmed that there had been a holdup, but would not specify any reason for the delay. We do not know when the books will arrive yet, Mosina told the Moscow Times. Managers at Dorn Carnegie said that there had been no information about customs delays. We received the books and will start selling them within an hour. The book is set to be translated in Russian by November this year, with some 150,000 copies expected to be published. Also in the news on Friday from Melva House Books, don't judge a book by its title? We've all heard the old cliche about a book's cover, but how about judging a book by its title? From The Guardian, Bridget Jones's baby on the way into print, Helen Fielding says. To accompany the forthcoming film of the same name, the book will recount the best-selling heroine's somewhat bumpy journey into motherhood. From The New Yorker, The Improbable Life and Prescient Poetry of Basil Bunting. If Basil Bunting were not remembered for Brick Flats, his longest and best poem, first published 50 years ago, he might still be remembered as the protagonist of a preposterously eventful 20th-century life. Finally, on Friday, from The Bookseller, PRH leads British Book Design Award nominations. The 2016 British Book Design and Publication Award finalists have been revealed, with publisher Penguin Random House leading the nominations with 9 titles on the shortlist, followed by Pat Macmillan with 5, with strong showings from the Folio Society 4, Francis Lincoln, and Little Tiger Press 3 apiece. Now in the news for Saturday, August 6th, from the blogs in the New York Times, read books, live longer. Reading books is tied to a longer life, according to a new report. Researchers used data on 3,635 people over 50 participating in a larger health study who had answered questions about reading. The scientists divided the sample into 3 groups: those who read no books, those who read books up to 3.5 hours a week, and those who read books more than 3.5 hours. The study, in Social Science and Medicine, found that book readers tended to be female, college-educated, and in higher-income groups. So researchers controlled for those factors as well as age, race, self-reported health, depression, employment, and marital status. Compared with those who did not read books, those who read for up to 3.5 hours a week were 70% less likely to die over 12 years of follow-up, and those who read more than that were 23% less likely to die. Book readers lived an average of almost 2 years longer than those who did not read at all. They found a similar association among those who read newspapers and periodicals, but it was weaker. Also in the news on Saturday, from The State in South Carolina, kids get haircut, heads filled, thanks to Books with Barbers reading program. In Columbia, South Carolina, placing children's books in barbershop is an effort by a former local teacher to instill an enjoyment of reading into the next generation, particularly young African-American boys. From InfoDocket, Provo City Library removes itself as a Pokemon Go Pokestop. What happened? They write in a blog post, because of the unexpected costs and increased problems we experienced, we requested that the 4 Pokemon stops be removed from the library. We were notified on August 2nd that a request had been approved. From the CBC in Canada, Life Lessons from George Bowering, a Master of Writing. George Bowering has written over 100 books in an array of genres, including poetry, fiction, and memoirs, sometimes all at the same time. He spoke to the Next Chapter host Sheila Rogers from Vancouver. This interview originally aired on January 18, 2016. From the Plowshares blog, Parents Experimenting on Their Children in Fiction. It's unsurprising that parenting is fertile ground for novelists, given that the parent-child relationship is one of the most intense. There are plenty of stories, both in fiction and in real life, of parental sacrifice for the sake of children. More surprising are the accounts of parents using their children for the sake of their work. From PublishABooks.com, NPR News, Wisdom from Young Adult Authors, Tamora Pierce. Tamora Pierce is the YA author behind the fantasy series Song of a Lioness and The Immortals. For our series Next Chapter, she recalls how college helped her escape small-town poverty. And finally on Saturday, from BleedingCool.com, when you wake up to an order for 1,437 copies of Harley Quinn No. 1, Jesse James Comics in Glendale, Arizona posted the slip from an online order the day after the new DC Comics movie Suicide Squad, led by the maniacal pawn of the Joker, hit theaters. And finally, in the news for Sunday, August 7th, from The Bookseller, new Patrick Ness film in development. Entertainment company Lionsgate is to adapt Patrick Ness' YA novel, Chaos Walking, The Knife of Never Letting Go, into a film starring Daisy Ridley, Variety has reported. The magazine has said Lionsgate CEO John Feltheimer confirming the casting on August 4th on the company's earnings call with Wall Street analysts. Feltheimer said the film would go into production next year with Doug Liman as director and Doug Davidson producing. The Knife of Never Letting Go, which won the Guardian Children's Fiction Prize in 2008, is the first novel in the Chaos Walking trilogy, set in a world where all living creatures can hear each other's thoughts. As the planet erupts into war, a boy called Todd is forced to flee, setting off on a journey with a silent girl called Viola. Elsewhere in the news on Sunday from Digital Book World, is video for digital publishers worth the hype? Today, the focus on architecting interactive storytelling experiences has intensified. Digital publishers have redoubled their efforts to provide users with rich media content bolstered by the increasing use of images and, more importantly, video. From amdigital.co.uk, Shakespeare's Globe Archive to be digitized. Adam Matthew and Shakespeare's Globe announced landmark digitization project of well-renowned theater archive. From the New York Times, 9 thrillers, 1 true, that Times editors think you should read this summer. If you learn from readerly excitement during these dog days of summer, check out these 9 books, our very favorites from this year's Summer Thrills issue. From Writer's Digest, 13 copywriting tips to help you write a better novel. Just as copywriters carefully choose their words and phrases in order to appeal to a specific audience, novel writers need to structure each sentence, paragraph, and page within their book to ensure that readers keep turning or coming back for more. And finally for this week, from Mental Floss, 15 fun facts about the Babysitter's Club. 30 years ago this month, Scholastic published the first Babysitter's Club book, Christie's Big Idea. Before long, the books were hitting bestseller lists, and what started as a 4-part miniseries would eventually grow to 218 books, including 131 regular series novels, 15 super specials, 36 mystery books, 4 super mysteries, a series of portrait collection books, and 2 spin-off series. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
This episode is sponsored by...
Hi, my name is Bianca Palmisano, author of The Empty Spaces, a volume of short poetry. Each poem I like to think of as just a tiny story. A lot of the themes are about love, about relationships, about what it's like to feel wonderful and wrapped up in a relationship that's going well, but also about the feelings we have about ourselves when they don't work out.
Now available in print from CreateSpace at Amazon.com and as an ebook from AS21. And we're back to turn to the New York Times bestseller list. And first, a disclaimer, although the news list was filled with Harry Potter news, the New York Times bestseller list is not. So, for the New York Times bestseller list dated August 17th, combined print and ebook fiction, number 1, Truly Madly Guilty by Leanne Moriarty. Number 2, The Girl on the Train by Paula Hawkins. Hardcover fiction, number 1, Truly Madly Guilty. Number 2, The Black Widow by Daniel Silva. Combined print ebook nonfiction, number 1, Crisis of Character by Gary J. Byrne and Grant M. Schmidt. Number 2, Hillary's America by Dinesh D'Souza. Hardcover nonfiction, number 1, Crisis of Character. Number 2, Hillary's America. Paperback nonfiction, number 1, It Gets Worse by Shane Dawson. Number 2, Alexander Hamilton by Ron Chernow. Ebook fiction, number 1, Truly Madly Guilty. Number 2, Boss Man by V. Keeland. Paperback trade fiction, number 1, The Girl on the Train. And number 2, After You by Jojo Moyes. Paperback mass market fiction, number 1, Rogue Lawyer by John Grisham. And number 2, Illusion Town by Jane Castle. And finally, ebook nonfiction, number 1, Crisis of Character. And number 2, Armageddon by Dick Morris and Eileen McGann. And now to the home report. This past week, we announced that Dating as Told by the Modern Horror by Eileen Vega was our best-selling title for the second straight month. We also unveiled to our email list and social media presence the cover for Hive Battle of the Dog Star, the second in the Hive series by James D. King. Submissions for the third ACE21 annual are still being accepted. This year's annual will be entirely electronic, which will allow it to feature audio and video components for the first time. The new optimized EPUB release will be a more immersive way to enjoy the poetry, short stories, and art that has been featured in years past. Submissions run throughout the month of August. There is no fee to register, and editing will be provided. Not all submissions will be accepted, and the annual cannot publish any work that has been previously published in other journals, websites, or magazines. It was a busy week for the AS21 Podcast Network, starting with the release of the world's only podcast on Monday. Commentators Ian Roberts and Joshua Silverman discussed news topics from the past month, including the political conventions and Pokemon Go. Find the podcast on Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play. The Passion on the Page Poetry Podcast came out on Tuesday. It featured the fourth and final entry from AS21 creative Deepan Chatterjee, PhD, author of the first Prothetical. The Passion on the Page is available on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, and media.as21.com. On Wednesday, the next episode of the Sex Vex Perplex podcast landed as host Eileen Vega discussed embarrassing bodily functions. Find SVP on Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, and media.as21.com. We also released several new videos on the AS21 YouTube channel, including the videos from James D. King's appearance at Walls of Books on Saturday, July 30th, and unboxing our most recent order from Vistaprint. The week closed with Michael B. Judkin's interlude tour coming to the D.C. area. On Friday night, he did a meet-and-greet at Books and Other Found Things in Leesburg, Virginia for Leesburg First Friday. Nearly 50 customers came through and spoke with Michael during his three-hour appearance. On Saturday, Judkins did a live reading of Interlude to Sentimental Me at Walls of Books in D.C., including an experimental reading with musical accompaniment. The performance was broadcast live on Periscope and will be shared elsewhere. Today, we release the next chapter in the Publish Me podcast. It was a show about endings, as Paul and I discuss storyline resolution. You can find that on Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, YouTube, and media.as21.com. In the week ahead, we will be announcing the pre-order for Hive Battle at the Dogstar, and in an exclusive to subscribers to the AS21 weekly email, we will be releasing a code for a free download of The Empty Spaces by Bianca Palmisano from the AS21 market. And next weekend, we will post the next episode of the Creative Speaking Author Interview Series featuring the introductory video for James D. King, filmed at Walls of Books in D.C. Thank you for listening to this edition of Literary This Week. Be sure to subscribe on Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, or our home on the web, media.as21.com, which also has the complete news list for this and previous episodes, so for all the stories you heard here, so that you can read them for yourself. You can keep up with the news during the week by following us on Twitter, @AS21. If there's any stories that you think we missed, tweet to us with the hashtag LiterallyThisWeek. For AS21 Publishing, I am Keith F. Shovlin. Thank you for listening, see you next week, and keep reading! Copyright 2016, AS21 Publishing, LLC, all rights reserved.
AS21 Publishing. What do you want your book to be?